God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
The recent reported surges of coronavirus cases across much of the country is pushing the COVID-19 issue to the front of the presidential campaign. Some are saying that if the election were today, Joe Biden would win in a landslide. Rather amazing, since Biden rarely ventures out of his basement and hasn't made any suggestions beyond what the White House is already doing. Old Joe is benefiting greatly from public unhappiness with President Trump's performance on this issue. Many Trump supporters don't trust polls, but I believe that President's recent actions show he knows he has a major problem with how the public sees him. He has returned to the White House press room a few days ago to give regular updates on the government's response for the first time since late April. Moreover, there is a striking difference in his tone. His March through April briefings featured bullish predictions, sometimes lasting 2 hours. This time, the president appeared to communicate with a softer tone, read softer statements that offered a softer, more sober assessment. Recently, the president even endorsed wearing a mask and abandoned any talk of the virus disappearing quickly, even acknowledging that the spread, quote, will probably unfortunately get worse before it gets better, close quote. Friends, I don't know if you are concerned about what is happening in our beloved country. It looks like it is all haphazard, something breaking out that just is happening quite by accident. But as a matter of fact, it is not accidental, nor is it fortuitous. There are those who are following a well-designed but very evil plan to destroy freedom, liberty, and all the wonderful things that America has been famous for. It's called Agenda 21. It is something that I will boldly say has been hatched in the pits of hell. I'm dead serious about that. It has the flavor and smell of death. James Yeager is back with us. We are offering his 152-minute documentary, Unsustainable. James, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Great to be here, Larry. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk about something that I think is very fundamental. Let's talk about getting us out of the UN. Now, I know a lot of people will say, what? You know, but tell us why that's necessary and what are your ideas about how we can go about that?
Well, we interviewed two very prominent people for Unsustainable. We interviewed Lord Christopher Monckton, who used to work for Margaret Thatcher, and we interviewed John McManus, the president of the John Birch Society for 30 years. And John McManus and the Birch Society have been recommending that the United Nations get out, the U.S. get out of the U.N., and the U.N. get out of the U.S. for over 30 years. Lord Monckton offers a solution and agrees with that, in that the United Nations is basically has 153 governments that are all signatory to it, and its declaration of principles are pretty much Marxist. At the very least, they're, as G. Edward Griffin says, collectivist. And by the way, G. Edward Griffin is also in this movie, and Pat Buchanan makes a guest appearance. So what we're really battling is collectivism versus individualism. And this is why we need to get out of the United Nations.
Yeah, I think as you were mentioning before in one of our programs, you had compared the UN Declaration of Human Rights and our Bill of Rights, very, very different. Some of the key ideas that are in our Bill of Rights are not in the UN Declaration of Human Rights.
That's right. I went through the UN Declaration of Human Rights with a computer word processor, and I searched for words like petition, probable cause, trial by jury, due process, free state, keep and bear arms, and property rights. And none of those words are in the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. So I ask your audience, what kind of an organization that you are signatory through your country does not have the most basic, inalienable, God-given rights that our founders put into our originating documents?
Yeah, it's amazing what you found and what you brought up. It's completely different. We as people who believe in God, Christians, believe in certain human rights that are fundamental. Government does not give us human rights. God does, and the purpose of government is to maintain those human rights. But if we look at the Declaration of Human Rights, those rights are not being maintained. In fact, they're being spoken against by the United Nations.
Yeah, not only does the United Nations reserve the rights to dictate our rights, they reserve the right to withdraw our rights. And that is simply not in the Founders' Declaration of Independence.
So when you have a dictator who's an atheist and he is the, you know, he's virtually deity, and that's happening with so many people in America, and even many Christians, because like I say, many churches are no longer churches in the true sense of the word, then it is man who determines what's right and what's wrong. And of course, we know from the Bible that's not right because we're not qualified to determine what's right and what's wrong.
Yes, we're living in a very dangerous time because we have the potential through technology to create an artificial intelligence dictatorship. If that were to happen and we were to allow the global government to form, everybody in the world would end up being slaves under it. This would be so serious, it would make all the other dictatorships and kingdoms and oligarchies look like child's play. So the world cannot be in the United Nations plan, and we have to maintain liberty. And this is why Trump is being so viciously attacked. Trump is trying to destroy the globalist system and reinstate the nationalism of the individual sovereign states and countries.
Well, you mentioned President Trump. I think very, very highly of President Trump. I would be the first one to say that he's not replacing God. You know, I don't worship him. But I think he is someone who doesn't come from Washington, D.C., Yale University, or Harvard University. He sees things as they really are. He's a businessman. He sees the value of money, of private property, of capitalism. How do you feel, and how should we pray for President Trump? What are some of the things that he's doing right now and that you'd like to see him do regarding the UN, maybe in sustainable development?
I will reiterate what you mentioned, that he is not perfect, but all Christians and conservatives really have to support Trump no matter what. He is the only thing we have standing up against globalization, the globalist agenda. He is not greedy because he pushes an America first. The Clinton administration, the Bush's administration, the previous Democratic parties and Republican parties destroyed the entire manufacturing base of this country and shipped it to China and places like that through NAFTA, GATT, and the World Trade Organization. Trump is trying to restore the manufacturing base of this country, and the globalists are going nuts.
Yeah, so what he's opposing, we should all agree on that it's worth opposing because it's bad for us.
If we're not building things, if Americans aren't productive, if we are not independent and self-sufficient, we are slaves of a potential global government being formed by the United Nations right this second.
I've often wondered, James, if perhaps Americans have been kept super busy. Some of us have 2-3 jobs just trying to stay alive, and we just don't have time to investigate what we're talking about. Do you think that's a reality, maybe? You know, the idea, we work all day, half the night, we get home, we're just trying to stay alive, and the missus tells us, you know, our son got a D in math in school, we're all concerned about that, so we really don't have any time to deal with these important issues. Meanwhile, our freedoms and liberties are just being slipped away from us without us even being aware of it.
Americans have been enslaved by a debt fiat currency created debt cycle from the Federal Reserve System. They are enslaved to their interest payments, their mortgage payments, their debt service to the $30 trillion national debt. They are then come home from the end of the day after slaving away to pay debt service, watch network television. Larry, I'm telling you, we have to get rid of the mainstream media by revoking or reviewing their FCC licenses, and we've got to take a look at the 6 conglomerates that own and control 95% of everything people see, hear, and read in the mass media. And we've got to get those companies under Sherman antitrust review, and we've got to revoke the FCC licenses of the networks, because these networks are not being unbiased. If you look at NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, and MSNBC, every network except Fox, does nothing but bash President Trump. That is not balanced news. That is a violation of their FCC license, and they need to have their licenses revoked.
Well, I would agree with you. You know, I don't go to the Y now because of COVID-19 and the weather is warm. I can ride my bicycle outside. But in the wintertime when I'd work out, you know, they'd have CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News. All CNN did and MSNBC and some of the other left-wing things bashed Trump. It was against Trump, against Trump, against Trump. You look at Fox, there was a few things about Trump, what people were saying about it. But then we got into some other areas. And that is, you know, that's contrary to the FCC licenses. And I think once we did that, our culture, our society would not be so brainwashed. Because, you know, it's the easiest thing to turn on Channel 4, whatever it is, to look for maybe our program, Southwest Radio Church. Well, you know, a lot of people think we're kind of weird, kind of unusual and so forth, and they're too tired to get into what we're doing. But this is actually the game that is being played and the strategy that's being used against the American people.
Yes, it's a nonstop private propaganda campaign by the left and the apologists of globalization to bash Trump, to use cultural Marxism on him, to perpetrate critical theory, to criticize everything, every theory that they can promulgate about the negativity of Trump throughout at least five of the six networks. And that is a violation of the FCC license. And these networks have got to be called to account.
Well, what about, there's another issue too. I think local government is very, very important. Do you think that perhaps where we've fallen short, maybe we've neglected our, you know, we'll vote in the presidential election, the other things locally about the school board, about the sheriff, about judges and so forth, we kind of think, well, they're not important. But I'm of the mind that local government, it's kind of like if you have a brick wall, you got to have good bricks. Each brick has got to be, you know, put in straight, level, the proper mortar. Do you think local government is something that's maybe being avoided and neglected by so many Americans today?
Yes, absolutely. All of the action is at the local level. Whenever you hear about tax reform or taxes, it's always federal taxes. Oh, we're cutting your federal taxes. Oh, we're cutting the payroll tax. Oh, we're cutting the capital gains, the death tax. But the action is at your local township. It's the property taxes. In particular, it's the school tax. The school tax is the largest rental fee on your private property. Taxes are actually rental fees on private property. And the school tax for the public school system that is being forced on us, on the nation, from the federal government on down, basically taxes its citizens to death over property. And even when they don't have children, or when they send their kids to private school, or whether they homeschool their kids, these parents and these families are paying excessive, ridiculous property taxes for the school. Most of the property tax goes to support the school system. And the school system is basically running the program of cultural Marxism. So people are being basically taxed through their real estate in order to brainwash their kids with cultural Marxism.
I know, the State Teachers College, where most of the teachers come from, you know, the textbooks that are used in even little country towns that are good American towns, there's, you know, picket white fence and a couple of churches, and yet the teachers who are in those schools training our kids in rural America have been brainwashed in state teachers colleges. Furthermore, the textbooks haven't been written by people in Godibo, Oklahoma. The textbooks have been written by people who want to feed stuff in the minds of people in Los Angeles, Philadelphia, and New York City. So, you know, I know there are some good public school teachers. They're dear people, men and women and so forth, but they're fighting a losing battle.
That's right. My wife and I homeschooled our two boys, and we are so glad we homeschooled. And as a part of the homeschooling, I had to go out and buy them math books and spelling books. Well, the Warner's grammar book is not even available anymore. And the algebra and arithmetic books that I used at my school are not even available anymore. The only books you can get to teach math, algebra, or any of the English or anything, or grammar, are these totally mindless, ridiculous absurd books that have been homogenized and written by committees sitting in Washington, D.C. I'm telling you, the books that these kids are having to, quote, learn from are absolutely horrifying.
Wow. I think that's so eloquently said because it's so correct. You know, we used to put a lot of emphasis on the reading, writing, arithmetic. Now the basics are kind of left out. So many American school children know absolutely nothing about American exceptionalism, for example. You wouldn't even dare to talk about that because, oh, that's racist. We hear that racism charge over and over again. And yet, you know, if I lose my mind and forget my history, I no longer am who I am. And if a nation loses its memory, and that's exactly what's happening with so many public school textbooks, then we are no longer the nation we were meant to be. We have no history, we have no background, and we've forgotten all of the principles that made America so great in the past 244 years. We better be careful.
And that's the whole idea behind tearing down all the statues. They want to erase our history.
Well, James, thank you so much for your film ministry and your insights into Agenda 21 and these three shows. We really appreciate you.
Well, it was great, Larry, and thank you very much for having me.
Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get unsustainable.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the fantastic DVD titled Unsustainable: The UN's Agenda for World Domination. You can have a copy for a gift of $22 if you live in the United States and $35 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order anytime online on our website at swrc.com. A great companion to this DVD is the classic favorite by Dennis Cuddy titled Conspiracy. You can have a copy for a gift of $15. Better yet, get both the DVD Unsustainable and the book Conspiracy for a gift of $27. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Liberty University President Jerry Falwell Jr. expressed his support for changing the name of Lynchburg, the Virginia city where his prominent evangelical Christian school is based. Although noting that the city is named after John Lynch and not the racially charged practice of lynching, Falwell said the name change would end any confusion. Quote, "I personally support changing the name of the city of Lynchburg. It's been an embarrassment to Liberty University ever since we started. That was one of the reasons Liberty's original name was changed from Lynchburg Baptist College to Liberty Baptist College in 1976, Falwell said.
Falwell added that many people from Liberty have told me that when they travel and tell people where they're from, they are often asked, why in the world would you want to live in a racist place like that? Close quotes. It's because people take lynch and they think it means there are lynchings there, when the truth is, it was named after a Quaker.
The online petition has gathered more than 5,500 signatories. It was started by an individual named Daisy Howard to bring to the Lynchburg City Council. Quote, "I understand it was named after a man named John Lynch, but why do we insist on explaining that when people react to its name poorly, understandably so? Why do we insist on defending it?" Close quote.
If you get your news from CNN, you are familiar with Don Lemon, one of their talking heads. He may have revealed that the talking head is also empty. The report comes from DailyWire.com on July 9th. Quote, "Don Lemon claimed Jesus Christ admittedly was not perfect. when he was on the earth, promoting ridicule from some who accused the CNN host of being ignorant of the basic tenets of Christianity. During a discussion about the shortcomings of the Founding Fathers on Monday night with fellow CNN host Chris Cuomo, Lemon said, "Here's the thing, Jesus Christ, if that's who you believe in, Jesus Christ admittedly was not perfect when he was here on this earth." Cuomo nodded approvingly. Evangelical author Eric Metaxas, who clashed with Cuomo last December in a heated exchange about abortion and whether Christians should support President Donald Trump, tweeted the clip and mocked using a quote by Oscar Wilde, quote, "To be embarrassingly culturally ignorant may be regarded as a misfortune, but to proclaim one's ignorance whilst hosting a major TV show looks like carelessness," end of quote. Admittedly? It would be interesting to discover his source for this tidbit. Surely not in the Bible. If Jesus was not perfect, he could not be our Savior, because for our sins to be atoned requires a spotless Lamb, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. It would be easy to shoot arrows at Mr. Lemon. Instead, let's shoot prayers to heaven for his soul's salvation. He needs the Lord.
Xi Jinping, president of the Chinese Communist Party, wants you to vote for Joe Biden as president of the United States. Joe and Hunter Biden embody the globalism that empowered a China bent on surpassing the United States and one day ruling the world.
As chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in the early 2000s, and then as vice president during the Obama administration, Biden helped China's geopolitical rise to a world power. Bernie Sanders knew the truth and criticized Biden for supporting the grant permanent normal trade relations status to China in 2000. A decade later, Biden said, "A rising China is a positive development, not only for China, but for America." Joe, you've got to be kidding. Tell that to the 1 million Uyghurs in Chinese concentration camps. Tell it to Asian democracies like Taiwan, menaced by Beijing's bullying. Tell it to the American factory workers who lost good jobs while Hunter Biden got $80,000 a month for his efforts at helping China.
What Biden did do was to contribute mightily to Team Obama's record of appeasement and failure to counter Chinese aggression from cyber hacking to island building. It's a sad day when progressives talk about peace and reconciliation with an aggressive regime and ignore China's abuse of the Uyghurs. A new study by Adrian Zenz proves that Muslim women in Xinjiang are cruelly subjected to forced abortions, sterilization, and fitted with IUDs. Astonishing figures of plummeting birth rates and draconian birth control measures in southern Xinjiang, unveiled by Zenz in a study published by the Jamestown Foundation, prove that the Chinese Communist Party is engaged in the deliberate and systematic destruction of a people group.
Individual horror stories have emerged from the internment camps of forced IUD insertions and mystery injections, some of which have rendered Uyghur women sterile. Women undergo regular pregnancy checks, according to Zenz, and countless women have reported forced abortions.
We would do well to pay attention to events on the other side of the world, as many are asking for socialism to be the way of life in the United States, with the government giving us a check every week. Remember, a free lunch comes with a price. Consider China, where the authorities have told poor Christians that they will have to replace images of Christ and crosses with communists or lose their benefits. Quoting, "They must obey the Communist Party for the money they receive." The religious liberty site Bitter Winter reported that in April, authorities in a town administered by Linfen, a city in China's southern Shanxi province, called a meeting for all of the officials under its jurisdiction to start cracking down on Christians. They were to raid their homes and replace any crosses, images of Christ, or other religious imagery with portraits of Mao Zedong or the current Chinese Premier Xi Jinping. Anyone who resists the order would have their welfare payments stopped, a crucial lifeline for those Christians living in poverty in China. Impoverished religious households can't receive money from the state for nothing. They must obey the Communist Party for the money they receive, an official told one believer after tearing down a calendar with an image of Jesus and replacing it with Mao Zedong. All impoverished households in the town were told to display Mao Zedong images, a preacher told Bitter Winter after receiving a visit himself. The government is trying to eliminate our belief and wants to become God instead of Jesus. China is an oppressive communist state. We must not forget this. It's seemingly endemic across the country. An official from a village in China's eastern Shandong province posted images of Xi Jinping and Mao Zedong after storming into one Christian's home. These are the greatest gods. If you want to worship somebody, they are the ones, the official said as he put them up. In April, a Christian woman from Henan province, whose husband died in 2016, had her welfare payments stopped after refusing to sign a statement renouncing her faith and destroy all Christian images in her home. There are so many more examples of this happening all across China right now, but you don't hear a peep about this from the mainstream media because the oppression of Christians is not news that they want you to hear about, as it does not seem to fit their narrative. Do not forget that. Thus ends the article. Can you see a parallel in Revelation 13:14-17, which describes a satanic miracle-working beast who takes over the earth? He will in the near future have an image which will appear to come to life and require worship. Quoting the verses, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." We aren't far from it.
Thanks for being with us today. If you have a question or comment, or if you need prayer, call us at 1-800-652-1144. You can also write to us with your requests. And you can email us at info@swrc.com or find what you're looking for on our website at swrc.com. Thank you for being with us. Join us tomorrow here on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.